Our readings today are two, first from Matthew chapter 1 and then from Matthew chapter 2. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And then from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, and then 19 through 23. Now, when the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Out of Egypt I called my son. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Christian friends, the ancient Romans had a saying, Nomen est omen. Nomen est omen. That translates as the name is a sign. And what it means is that sometimes a person's name will be a sign of what that person's life will be like, what they're destined to be. For instance, back in the 1800s, there was a man with the name of Dr. Willard Bliss. Doctor was actually his first name, the name he was born with. So what did he become when he grew up? You guessed it, a doctor, a physician. Nomen est omen. The name was a sign of what he would become. Or another example, I know of a dentist in this area by the name of Dr. Barry Brace. Of course, how could he be anything else? One more example. The Chicago Cubs have a minor league player by the name of Zach Short. Guess what position he plays? You got it. Now, this name as a sign business doesn't always work out that way. But it sure does in the scripture readings we just heard. There we see not just one, but two examples of someone's name being a sign of what that person's life would be like. So let's find out. The first example is Joseph. I'm referring to Saint Joseph, guardian of Jesus, the Joseph whose festival is observed every year on this date, March 19th. His name, Joseph, gave an indication of what he was destined to be. For his name recalls another Joseph, the Joseph from the book of Genesis. And there are some interesting parallels between these two Josephs. Consider the Old Testament Joseph. One of the first things we think of with regard to him is how the Lord spoke to him through dreams. Joseph the dreamer, he was called. Well, the Joseph that we're commemorating today, the Lord spoke to him through dreams also. In Matthew chapter 1, an angel appears to him in a dream and tells him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, for the child that she's carrying has been conceived by the Holy Spirit and not the result of some adulterous affair. Then this Joseph the dreamer did as the angel told him, and that's how he became the guardian of Jesus. Besides dreaming, there's another parallel between these two Josephs. The Joseph of the Old Testament was put in a position as governor of Egypt in order to keep alive a great people, the people of Israel, during a time of great danger due to a famine. Joseph arranged to bring the children of Israel down to Egypt, where they could obtain enough food to survive before eventually they would return to the promised land. This parallels the role that the New Testament Joseph would play as the guardian of our Lord Jesus Christ. When there was great danger facing Jesus as a baby, the Lord told Joseph, again through a dream, to take the child and his mother and to flee to Egypt, where they would be safe. All of God's people's hopes were pinned to that little baby, that little boy Jesus, being able to grow up and carry out his saving mission. Joseph, his guardian, played an important role in keeping hope alive by keeping Jesus alive. And then when the threat was passed, again communicated through a dream, Joseph brought the child and his mother back up to the promised land. Out of Egypt have I called my son. So in these ways, Joseph fulfilled the destiny of his name. Nomen est omen, the name is a sign. But Joseph is not the only one. There's someone else in our story whose name was a sign of things to come for that person, and that is Jesus. Joseph was told by the angel to give the child that name. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You see, the name Jesus means, it literally means Savior. Yeshua in the Hebrew, or Yehoshua, the fuller name, means Yahweh saves, the Lord saves. So this baby boy to be born, his name was also his job description. He was born to be the Savior, and his name fits him to a T. For he will save his people, the angel said. But to save them from what? If you had taken a poll back at that time and asked the Jews, what do you think we need saving from? I'm guessing 90% or more of them would have said, why, we need saving from the Romans, of course. Political liberation, economic relief from the financial burdens placed upon us. That's what we need saving from. But is it any different today? Ask people in America today what they need saving from, and I suspect that most of them would give answers somewhat similar to what the Jews were thinking back then. We need saving from some outside force, some oppressive burden that is causing us problems. Maybe you and I do that sometimes too, without even realizing it. If only I could get rid of this debt that's weighing me down, my life would be great. If only I could get rid of my health problems, my life would be great. If only I could be saved from this or that outside problem that's giving me grief right now, then I would have a happy life. But from God's perspective, those are not the most important things that we need saving from. No, what we most desperately need saving from, what we need a Savior for, is precisely why Jesus was named Jesus and precisely why he came. For he will save his people from their sins. From their sins. From our sins. That's why we need a Savior. And that is exactly what Jesus was born to be, the Savior from our sins. This destiny was given Jesus in his name at his birth. Even before his birth, God knew what this child would be and do. And Jesus lived up to his name. He would go on to be that very Savior. By his obedience to God's law on our behalf, doing God's will perfectly where we so often fail or falter, Jesus invested the salvation he would bring with perfect righteousness. By his sacrificial death on the cross in our place, Jesus shed his holy blood and died to redeem us from our sins and from death and from the devil. By his victorious resurrection from the dead, shared with us in holy baptism, Jesus bestows his life on us freely, graciously, as a gift. And like the Yehoshua of the Old Testament, Joshua, who led the people of Israel into the promised land of Canaan, our Yehoshua, Jesus, will lead us into the promised land of heaven. Dear friends, the Joseph we remember today lived up to his name by being the dreamer of even greater dreams and by being the guardian who kept alive an even greater hope. Jesus is that hope. Jesus is the name, is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior that his name declares him to be. He is your Savior, indeed the Savior of the world. Nomen est omen, for both Joseph and Jesus. The names are signs of good things to come. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.